Holding a map and just staring at a destination, it's incredibly comforting. It feels exactly like progress.
Right, but it's really not.
Exactly. I mean, if you never actually put the car in drive, that map is really just a piece of paper you're holding while sitting alone in your driveway. So, welcome to today's deep dive.
Yeah, and our mission today is to prepare you for week six, day six of your workbook, focusing entirely on the self-audit.
Right, the law that states what you do matters, and nothing affects your life more than what you do or, choose to not do.
And before you even pick up a pen today, we really have to establish one non-negotiable rule: total brutal honesty.
Which is much harder than it sounds.
Oh, definitely. That is the biological sticking point. As a neuroscientist, I look at the brain as this, well, this metabolically expensive organ that just loves efficiency and safety.
It wants the easy way out.
Always. So when you sit down to audit your own actions, your neural circuitry is going to try to protect your ego.
Right, and since no one else will ever see these workbook answers, the temptation to hedge or rationalize is, I mean, it's enormous.
But doing that actively sabotages the hard neural rewiring work you've built all week.
Let's look at the psychology of that rationalization for question one. In my PhD classes, we talk constantly about cognitive dissonance.
The friction between who you think you are and what you actually do.
Exactly. It's the psychological pain that happens when your self-image as this driven go-getter clashes with the reality of you watching like 3 hours of television every night.
Right, so to relieve that pain, the brain just generates excuses.
Yeah, which is why the first part of your audit asks you to confront the brutal difference between what you say you want and what your actions are actually creating. We just subconsciously prefer the comfort of wanting over the friction of doing.
Because merely fantasizing about a goal, it provides a cheap dopamine release. It biologically feels rewarding without requiring any physical effort on your part.
Wow, a cheap dopamine release. That makes so much sense.
Yeah, and that dopamine loop traps us in the waiting game. Which brings us to question two. Where are you telling yourself you're just waiting for conditions to improve before you take control?
The classic, I'll start on Monday trap.
Exactly. And speaking of which, let's make this real. Where are you currently waiting for perfect conditions instead of taking the wheel? Come on, answer it right now.
Wait, oh wow. Okay, putting me on the hot seat here.
I am total honesty, remember.
All right, honestly, I've been claiming I need to write a new textbook proposal, but, well, my excuse is that I'm waiting for a magical, completely uninterrupted 4 hour block of time to just appear in my schedule.
Which never happens.
Never. A perfect, friction-free moment that absolutely does not exist. I'm literally just sitting in the driveway holding the map.
A textbook case of the waiting game, pun intended.
Okay, so how do we break out of that driveway?
Well, question three of your audit asks you to look back at the variables from your first code rewrite. What old variable X are you dropping, and what new variable Y are you ready to build?
Right, making it concrete.
Yeah, from a neurological standpoint, defining these specifics is how you program your reticular activating system, or RAS.
Wait, so the RAS isn't just like a self-help metaphor? By explicitly naming the variables in the workbook, I'm literally programming a biological filter.
Precisely. The RAS is a physical network of neurons in the brainstem. It filters out millions of bits of sensory data and only lets through what you've deemed important.
That is fascinating.
It is. So by defining exactly what you want to build, you give the RAS a clear target, and it physically alters what you notice in your environment.
Which totally strips away the illusion that you're just a victim of circumstance. And that ties directly into question four.
Which is, where have you been acting like a passenger while telling yourself you're the captain?
Yes, and since you ambushed me earlier, it is your turn. Where have you been coasting in the passenger seat?
Oh, okay, fair play. Well, in my lab, I recently launched a massive data analysis project. And I've been calling myself the principal investigator steering the ship, but if I'm totally honest, I've just been letting my grad students make all the tough methodological choices while I just kind of nod along.
So you're a passenger pretending to hold the wheel.
Yeah, exactly. I've been coasting.
Well, it's humbling to admit, but that honesty exposes the exact coordinates for a course correction.
It does, which leads right into question five. You need to identify one course correction, small enough to do, but important enough to repeat.
Right, because from a psychological perspective, we know giant leaps usually trigger resistance. You have to start small.
And neurologically, a tiny, repeated correction is how you build physical infrastructure in the brain. It's this process called myelination.
Myelination, like building up myelin.
Yes, exactly. When you repeat a new positive behavior, Your brain wraps those neural circuits in myelin, which is a fatty insulating layer.
Oh, so it makes the signal faster.
Exactly. It's the biological equivalent of upgrading a slow dial-up internet connection to fiber optic broadband. The signal travels faster, making the new behavior automatic.
Which makes question six, the bedtime question, even more critical. You're supposed to record any answers, dreams, or unexpected ideas that surface this week.
Right, because if you're insulating those new pathways during the day, your brain is doing heavy subconscious processing while you sleep.
So you absolutely cannot let that data slip away. Those subconscious insights are the direct output of the new code you've been running.
Spot on.
So as you tackle today's self-audit, keep up the momentum. Remember to review your stack exactly 3 times today.
Yep, that's your 3 code rewrites, 3 distill points, and 2 quotes.
And of course, cue up your bedtime question tonight. But breathe easy, because tomorrow, day 7, is a light, easy day.
It is. It's designed to serve as a smooth bridge right into the next module, so you get a bit of a breather.
Exactly. So as you sit down with your workbook today, I'll leave you with this final thought. Inaction isn't a pause button, right? It's an active choice.
Very true.
In those areas of your life where you have chosen to sit back and do nothing, what kind of future are you passively building?